Accent marks on words are something you might have worked pretty hard to learn in your high school Spanish class, but over generations of assimilation in America, they have largely been lost in many names, or as our next guest argues, they have been taken. Megan Figueroa is a linguist at the University of Arizona, as well as host of the Vocal Fries podcast. She told me it's another example of cultural dominance by European people here over centuries. But now, as Axios Latino recently reported, more especially young Latinos are reclaiming accent marks in their names, along with their cultural heritage. I spoke with Figueroa more about why.
Well, I think it's the connection to culture, to your family, to the ancestors that came before, the family that you know. It is your connection to them. Something was taken away from you. It became a matter of accommodation versus authenticity. And so names are so important. I mean, if anyone listening right now, or even you, if you think about, you know, your name or what you've named your children, I mean, you've put a lot of thought into this. This is a really important thing, you know, when it comes to your identity and your personhood. And for the Latinx community, there have been along the way these systematic issues that have created this accommodation over authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the history of this, right? Like if accents are being sort of reclaimed now, you know, where did they go? Were they lost or were they sort of taken?
They were taken. And I love the way you asked that because, you know, as a linguist, I hear and read a lot about language loss. I mean, I've always thought that this was a really misleading way to think about language. And it's certainly a very misleading way to think about the accent marks. So a good place to start of where kind of accent marks have been lost is to think about the printing press and the invention of the printing press. You'll hear things like, okay, so it just was simpler when it came to this, you know, inventing the printing press to not do the accent marks because it was a little bit more difficult. Okay, that only serves the dominant group if you're going to stop and say, okay, this is good enough. And so the idea that it's a typesetting issue is no longer something that people can claim in 2022. Over the years, this kind of, I don't know, cultural dominance of perhaps like Anglo names or other names that just don't have accent marks have kind of just reinforced this status quo of not pushing forward and figuring out a way to make sure that if a name has an accent mark, we can make sure that it appears with its accent mark.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's sort of a technological aspect to this, right?
Right.
And the cultural aspect historically as well. Like there were generations of immigrants to the U.S., for example, right, who were sort of discouraged from or even punished for speaking this language and for, you know, insisting on things like this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And my father was one of them growing up in Bisbee, Arizona. He was, you know, a Spanish speaker until he went into school and he was met with corporal punishment for speaking Spanish in school in, you know, Bisbee, Arizona. And this was in the 50s, but this is not a rare occurrence. So imagine being a child and going through something like this and Spanish becomes something that you're taught through the body at this point that it is bad. And so what happens is he grows up. He has a kid, me, and he doesn't want to teach me Spanish because he wants to make sure that I succeed, right? And success seems to be, okay, it won't be Spanish because, you know, that's dangerous. And so like by the third generation of the diaspora of, you know, like Latino diasporas, which I'm the third generation, I didn't grow up speaking Spanish. And so this is what happens. The idea of language loss, it's more like language is taken.
So, I mean, how common is it sort of in our world today here in Arizona or in the country, you know, that we don't see accent marks or we see them left off of especially names like things like government records? What about bank accounts, like some of these big systems? Is it common to sort of just say we're not going to put that Enya on there?
Oh, absolutely. Think about names on credit cards. We think about election materials. So ballots, official ballots often do not have accent marks for the names of the candidates. I think about even sports where the name on the back of a jersey would be not authentic to the person because they just, you know, didn't have the accent mark. I was looking up, I was like, how long ago did they start putting accent marks on jerseys? Because I knew it had to have happened somewhat recently. And it was 2016.
Wow.
2016. I was pretty blown away by that. You know, you're a journalist, so I was thinking about this because the AP style for accent marks recently changed. I think it was 2019. And so now it says, use accent marks or other diacritical marks with names of people who request them or are widely known to use them or quoting directly in a language that uses them. But see, I see this as another cop-out or another way for it to kind of be like, you know, get around the issue, because you have to make sure if you're a journalist to ask if people want these accent marks, because here it allows for, you know, the possibility that the person doesn't know that they can ask for it.
So then let's lastly, Megan, talk about, you know, this reclaiming, right? Like it seems to be among younger generations, especially. What do you make of this?
So there's some safety in it too. And I use words like unsafe and the idea of safety, you know, that can mean a lot of things, but I think it's the fact that people that came before us, and I can't help but think of, you know, like my dad and his generation and things like the 70s were like the Chicano rights movements and just all of these like civil rights movements that were happening. It was dangerous to be proud of who you were as a Latinx person. And it was harder to claim these things, because you put yourself in a position where, you know, maybe you were actually in physical danger, or, you know, maybe you wouldn't get that job. So I've heard of people who would take the accent marks off their last name because maybe people would think it's Italian. And so, you know, I thought about this because, you know, my last name is Figueroa. I think there's just this idea that we're a little bit safer to be proud of who we are. It goes a long way. The idea of just, you know, surviving and kind of a surviving in an environment where you feel unsafe because there's these systems that are oppressing you in ways that, okay, if I can just kind of back off of some of the things that make me so obviously Latinx, then maybe I can succeed. And so this is like the trade-off. I mean, it's why my dad didn't teach me Spanish. There are people, my generation and the younger generations, I think there's a lot of self-reflection about this. It's a lot safer to try to learn Spanish if we weren't taught Spanish, or to use the accent marks on last names if or first names if we have them. And I think there's also this idea of it's 2022 and it's unacceptable. It was unacceptable 50 years ago. It's certainly unacceptable now. There needs to be a change, because this accommodation is not serving us and our authentic selves.
All right. Megan Figueroa, a linguist and a research scientist at the University of Arizona. She's also the host of the podcast Vocal Fries. Megan, thank you so much for coming back on. I appreciate this and all of your reflections on it.
Thank you so much for having me.